Yeah, baby. And we back at it again. This is your host, Michael Bishop Evans, a.k.a. King Bishop Styles, a.k.a. That Ninja, a.k.a. Sexual Chocolate. We back in the place to be with that angry black man. And yo, I got a special host or guest today, guest host on the spot. Man, this man, he has a father of three, psychology degree. He is a pastor of the children. He's a youth pastor getting it in. And while we are on this discussion of African-American generational trauma, yeah, we back to that. I got my boy Roderick on with me today, all the way from Dallas, Texas. Actually, you ain't even in Dallas. What part of what part of Texas are you in?
Allen, Texas.
Allen.
Best part.
Okay. Hey man, why don't you go ahead and give the people a little bit of information about you? Who are you, Roddy P?
Let me take this Bluetooth headset off since it ain't connected.
Okay.
And how's the sound? The sound still okay?
Yeah, you good?
Well, yeah, as he did that, the introduction, I am Roderick, a.k.a. YPP, a.k.a. Roddy P. And I'm a youth pastor at God's Nation, Denton, Texas, getting a degree in psychology and my minor in biblical ministry. And, yeah, I'm super excited to be here on this podcast right here, on this show, on this, yeah.
Yeah,
boy. Whatever you want to call this. This takeover. Let's call it that. I'm excited to be on this platform, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, man. I'm super glad to have you here, too. This has been something in the making as far as we're concerned. You know, we're pretty good friends. We don't hang out in the physical space a lot, but, you know, we pretty much talk with each other on a weekly basis, man. And I just gotta, you know, give you your props. And you know, I really respect you as, you know, just as a human being. You know, you're a real dude. And on top of that, you know, you're a great father. You're a good man of God, and there ain't a lot of them motherfuckers running around here these days. You know what I'm saying? So
yes,
to be able to have you, you know, on this show, for as much as we've been talking about, you know, our lives and sharing our lives together, this has definitely been a long time coming. And we've actually had some discussions about, you know, creating our own show together. So, you know, this definitely could be the beginnings of something great, you know, coming down the line, man. So I appreciate you. I'm very thankful to be able to have you here right now and sharing, you know, our thoughts on, you know, the subject that has been going down on the show for, you know, a few weeks now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a really big topic, like you were saying, especially within the black community, one that's not really addressed because it's part of our standard. It's just something that we do. It's part of our norm, and we've normalized it. Just being able to address this issue and break it down so that people can understand, you know, the cons and the pros. So if, you know, if they see either or that way, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, no, facts. And so for anybody who is, this is your very first episode of you listening to That Angry Black Man, let me go ahead and give you a little bit of insight to what we're talking about here and now. And that is whooping ass. Right. And what that looks like, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, being out in the streets and fisticuffs and things of that nature. I'm talking about, you know, disciplining our children. Right. And is that a good or bad thing? And how does that relate to this scientific, like founded and proven idea around African American generational trauma? Like, should we be spanking our kids? Should we not be spanking our kids? What are the repercussions? Where does that shit even fucking come from, dude? You know what I mean? And like, and you know, I know for me, we were talking about this yesterday. I was sold out. to an extent on, you know, what they call corporal punishment, you know, for our, for our kids, because that's the way I was brought up. Now, you know, I've never, you know, done no switches on my kids or extension cords or even belts, you know, as far as that's concerned. But, you know, I did this thing called Pop City. You know, I flexed my fingers and bam on the arm or the leg. And it was, I did that because while I didn't necessarily believe in the spanking or the whooping, I knew that I needed to be able to convey a message over to my child who didn't have the complete wherewithal to understand what it was that I was communicating to them of what they needed to do or what needed not to do, and that there was a consequence behind them doing something that I asked them not to do. Right?
Well, absolutely, because I mean, like you said, there's consequences, there's repercussions for everything that you do in life. Like we were talking about yesterday, the baby, you know, when they're walking up to the oven and you're like, don't touch that. And they're still doing it regardless. You've got to teach them, otherwise they're going to burn themselves.
Right.
And some parents, you know, don't let them go ahead and do it and have that experience and be like, well, now I taught you. And some people would even say that's a bit too extreme as well. But yeah, that's a whole different topic in itself as well. But, you know, it also goes along the lines of what we're talking about, disciplining. And where do you draw the line? What's okay and what's not okay? Now, going into this, you know, there's many different aspects in which you can hit it, right? The psychological, the aspects of it, the biblical, and just generational, right?
Right.
So you just let me know in which aspects you want
to
go ahead and...
Right. I think it's super appropriate to, like, you know, get your take first off of, like, generational. Like what does that look like for you in your mind? Like what in the research and things that you've done, where does that set with you and how are you seeing it? What's your perspective from a generational aspect?
Well, absolutely. You know, I'll go into what you were talking about as well. From those who don't know me, I'm adopted. There's 16 of us total. And
damn.
Yeah, so generally at one point in time in our house, you know, there was 9 to 12 kids. And I had, and oh, here's the kicker to it. You know, I was adopted by Caucasian parents.
Yeah.
For those who might be interested. So, you know, it's that was a big learning. I guess you could say curve and an advantage and a disadvantage in the same sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, coming in that type of structure, you had to have discipline. And my dad... my foster dad, because I also have a relationship with my biological. So both that dad, my foster dad or my dad, at that point in time, he had been in the military, but the way that he ran everything was, you know, you got up at 6 o'clock every single morning. Didn't matter if you had school or not. You know, you had your routine. You got
damn, even on Saturdays? He better have been waking your ass up to watch some cartoons and eat some motherfucking cereal.
You're going to get up. You're going to get up and you'll be able to, you know, eat your breakfast and, you know, enjoy that and watch the cartoons. But then, you know, probably about 8 o'clock, it's time to get it on and cracking.
Dude, like, what is like it? Man, cartoons ain't even over until like 10.
I know. Trust me. So it was a dog fight. And luckily your boys had these hands. I like to say they're ready to eat for everyone. So it didn't matter if my sisters or my brothers, they could all catch it. So, you know... With that, my mom, she's really actually disciplinary in our home, which is really a unique thing. Because my dad, he went out. Actually, they both went and worked. I'm not going to say that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually both worked for the city of Waco at that particular point in time.
Okay.
And he actually retired from, and she did too as well, 25 years. But, you know, she believed in, and he backed her up on, you know, using the belt.
Mm.
That was something that they were big into, and it was the best way of doing it. And now, I won't say they always used the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else we can go into as well, because especially as we got older and got more tested and started bucking, as the youngest might say, you know, there were times where anything that was in the hands were used, depending on the degree of severity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, what they deemed, you know, how they deemed it to be severe at that point in time, that's really, you know, a reaction. Which is something, you know, me as myself, like we're going into the generational part of it. that was something I was like, you know, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, I still believe in, you know, disciplining, and I won't lie, you know, I used the belt, well, mainly my hand, until I got a little bit older, and then my hand was like, I'm not about to do that. That's hurting me.
Mm.
So, you know, I did end up using the belt.
Don't do that.
Yeah. The hand was like, what did my feet say? And I was like, oh, yeah. You know, talk to the hand, right? And he is talking to me like, yeah,
all right.
So, you know, as that, you know, went along, you know, we used verbal communication as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to talk to him and so forth, but sometimes, you know, just speaking isn't working.
Right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we did believe in, you know, disciplining in a different mannerism. I did use the belt, but now they're at the age where that's not really what I have to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the fear of it, or just having to deal with consequences, point blank period, even if they know it's not going to be that severe. Like, it could even be, you know, anything. Like, yeah, they're going to be in line because they know better. They know not to cross that line. That
right.
threshold and set.
Because they know that there's something coming that, regardless of whether it's going to be physical or whatever it's going to be something that's going to be
Absolutely.
Going to be uncomfortable and that they're
exactly.
not going to like. Right.
There's going to be a consequence.
So for you, what on a generational level, like going deeper, not just like, you know, one or two generations, but like for us as a whole, as African-American people, like what are you coming up on that you're seeing that like tells the story of, you know, us being where we're at? And let me be a little bit more descriptive,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that question. Into like, for me, like I just had this idea for the longest time growing up, you know, around, you know, a gang of white people that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was always the white kids that you saw acting, that I saw acting up in public, you know what I'm saying? And just being like extra retarded. And so for me, it was just always this thought of like, you know, if you got your ass touched, then you know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't be behaving in that manner. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be aware of your surroundings and like what's going on, and that, you know, you have enough power to affect the entirety of your whatever space that you're in. And then there's that the whole idea for me, too, of like, you know, I would be like, well, you know, my kids aren't growing up and they're not shooting up schools, you know, or blowing up buildings
Absolutely.
With bombs and shit like that. But, you know, as I started to delve into this idea of and true reality of African-American generational trauma, and then ended up having an interaction with my daughter where I wanted to put my hands on her. It clicked for me. Because I'm thinking to myself, well, do I really want to whoop that ass, or is there a better route for me to go? And then, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, it just all of a sudden hits me like a ton of bricks that maybe that it might not be the way for me to put my hands on her. Because when I'm really using my common sense about what it is that I'm seeing as far as results
yeah.
within community, taking away all of the nonsense that has been done to our community, when I just leave the fact that within our communities, we're saying that, you know, I'm using whoopings as a means of protection, to show love, and to correct, we're still seeing a mass amount of degradation within the community. We're seeing like, you know, all kinds of, and you see it like Young Dolph, you see Nipsey Hussle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and all of that stuff going down. So it's like, you know, are whoopings really working?
But where's the deal with that though, right? You've got, because, you know, I'll talk from my viewpoint, you know, even having siblings who, you know, we have family members and stuff that people would say, you know, live in projects or ghettos, and friends, and, you know, we say has sleepovers over there. And, you know, as we grew up, we were over there and so forth. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I really saw was, you know, yes, they would give spankings if they got out of line, But they also, you know, really, what's the word I'm looking for? They give them positive reinforcement on bad behaviors. Like the kid will be sitting there talking about, you know, Crips or blood or what's up, cuz. And the mom and pops, they're cool with that because their families did it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to actually try to, you know, what good is it to spank them, but you're still telling them, like, going out in the streets and that type of life, what your other family does, still, that's cool because that's what they did. You know what I'm saying?
I think I hear what you're saying, which is that it's possible that spankings could work in a way to use as correction, but without a... without a culture that's created within the home that are pointing children into positive means of interacting with everyone around them, like, for instead of like going to the gangs, like, you know, and using gang culture language, being like, yo, like, take your ass to the library and go read some books. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, instead of going, you know, out on the block, you know, like, go into a garden, you know, and that type of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that and not to install the behavior and culture that we've allowed to be acceptable. Like, we, you know, how do I put it? You know, growing up where I was at, we had, like, our east side and our south side. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody repped their own sides. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody within that block was okay with that in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want their kids to be part of that, but they were also okay with it, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, they'll let them watch all the TV that puts them towards that light. They'll let them listen to all the music that puts them towards that light. Don't let them hang out with all their homeboys that go towards that light. And then, you know, whenever you feel like it's too much, then you want to spank them. Then, but now it's too late. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you've done installed too much of the negative stuff into them. And you're still letting them consume all that raw, unfiltered,
unrefined,
you know, negative
yeah.
stuff. Instead of, you know, making sure, and like you were saying, go, even if you can't take them to your public library, which most places that I know like that have a public library, a lot of them have resources now where you can even go and get the books for free.
Mm-hmm.
And take them to your house. You know what I'm saying? Let the kid read, do something else different. And that's okay. And that's the other thing. They don't want their kid to stick out. They don't want them to be different.
Weirdos.
And yeah. It's okay for your kid to break the barrier. It's okay for them to do something that's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get, you know, the hip hop preacher. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get all these other great people out here, because they were okay with stepping out of the mold, being something that was different than what somebody else had been.
Right.
Especially within our own culture. Like, we don't want nobody else to be different until they're different. Then it's like, oh, that was fire after all.
Mm-hmm.
My man was on to something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the whole time the hood was against them because they wanted to do something positive. They wanted to do something that was, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You know what's really interesting to me in that
mentality?
Yeah, what's really interesting to me in that and in the way that you laid all that out, what was coming into my head are like all of the like teen movies. Like, I think that Grease is a good example because it transcends the, you know, the generations, right? Where like it's just not us as black people who rep a set, right? Or yeah. rep a neighborhood or a block or whatever. You know what I mean? We as a culture in America, right? Doesn't matter the color, right? We represent like these schools.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
one school against another, you know, having colors. These rivalries, right? There's the colors, you know, there's the whole nine. And it's just like, you know, what are you doing, you know, in my neighborhood? And, you know, yet and still. And, you know, again, it brings me back to then, you know, what is it looking like for us, like on the generational level. And because again, we were like kind of talking about this yesterday of like, and I was thinking about it as we were talking about it. I was like, you know what? I was like, it's interesting to me because I'm starting to really feel and believe that even if even with the things that I have seen that physical discipline creates for a person, like for instance, in young girls, their bodies go into puberty a lot earlier. Right.
Yeah.
Because what's happening is that their body is telling them like, yo, we're in danger. So we have to get ourselves ready to be able to procreate so that the line can survive. Right. So it's those types of things that are happening. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, would spankings or whooping still be a particular thing if we didn't have guns dropped in our neighborhoods, crack dropped in our neighborhoods, redlining, if we didn't have, you know, Jim Crow, you know, and those types of things, like real systemic racial happenings going on.
And I'm going to hit on 2 points because you mentioned one good. We're going to go into that, the psychological and the mental aspect of it, because there's articles that they are actually trying to link spankings to kids having gray matter on their brain.
Because the gray meats.
Yeah. So, but the other thing too is,
wait, go into gray matter though, because I'm not so familiar with that. And I don't know if there's anybody that's listening that is familiar with that either. So, you know, we can put them up on some game.
Yeah. So basically you kind of make a long version, kind of short. You know, like the baby shaking syndrome.
Yeah.
And how the brain gets rattled in there, causing damage, which causes the brain, you know, sorry for the interruptions, you know, causes damage to the brain and also lose brain oxygen and so forth. But it can cause, you know, what they call gray matter in your brain because of the damage. And that's in the same instance, even though you're not shaking the kid, it's because of some parents, which goes into the psychological part. When they go into disciplining, they do it out of anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't know when to stop. They don't know when too much is. To the point where some even cross the line into child abuse. But, you know, from a medical field, they're trying to say, you know, from the discipline is causing the children to, amass gray matter in their brains from it.
And so, so gray matter is a form of like atrophy to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
It stops working.
Okay. When it causes, you know, damage to it. What I will say is, you know, just for those who are listening, who can fill in more people even better than we can, go for it, because, you know, neither one of us are medical doctors or nothing else like that.
We
are guys who try to do a little bit of research on everything. So I will say that. So that's facts. But, you know, the thing with that, and that's another thing that I want to go, because it goes, what I'm going to speak about goes to that as well, is, you know, you asked, would we still do spankings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But spankings, you know, we all think about it in slave terms and it started there and so forth. But, I mean, you know, even the Egyptians were giving spankings.
To their kids?
Forms of corporal punishment, even to their children.
Okay.
Even to their children. Now, the tools and methods that they use, of course, weren't like what we use now.
So what were the differences between Egyptians' corporal punishment and what we know as what our ancestors who were brought over here as slaves encountering with slave masters?
Absolutely. So let me do this because I do have some extra notes because, you know, we come prepared.
Yep.
So back then, you know, they would use wood, like birch rods, pieces of
switches,
branches, and so forth like that.
go pick a switch off that tree, and you better get me a good one, because if you don't bring me back a good one,
look here. And they would actually, you know, back then they would get a handful of branches, and in the same sense that we kind of see, you know, flogging in a sense, as what we call it, is the same way that it, discipline would happen.
Okay.
And it wasn't so severe, but it was to get the point across, right? And I'm not, it didn't go for, you know, when we talk about royalty and everything else like that, everybody likes to think they come from royalty, right?
Yeah.
But just, you know, and I get it. I get it.
We got to big ourselves up because, like, we are in a massive deficit. And for psychology reasons, it's like, I get it. It's why, like, everybody will look into the mirror, and you should be giving yourself affirmations about your being. But, yeah, I digress. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. So, yeah. So, basically, you know, as it went along, from the Egyptians, ended up going and becoming a method for the Europeans, right? Which is how it ends up coming over here, right? So back then, the sailors would end up having a method of doing it as well. And they would get a where you get the plank of wood, right? And they would swat a soldier for a disciplinary action. And then as it actually, it got so severe, they end up shutting down that method of discipline, right?
Yeah, because people lose their goddamn minds, man.
Yeah, well, it went into your navies, right? Who were sailors as well, and they would use these forms of discipline, and they would go overboard. I mean, it's even to the point where it was documented where I was reading a couple of things.
Walk the plank, matey.
The British Army. Oh, yeah. So, the British Army actually had a couple of people that were killed based off of doing that. I'm trying to find, give me this. Oh, I've got this article. I'm sorry, y'all. I've got so much information that we pulled up.
Oh, yeah, take your time.
So yeah, there we go. So in the 1860s, the Royal Navy, they abandoned the use of, because they went from that, and they used the cat of nine tails for those. So everybody should be, you know, pretty familiar kind of with what the cat of nine tails is and how severe of a lashing it is with that.
I don't know nothing about the cat of nine tails. What is that?
The cat of nine tails. I've got that down too. Look here.
Yeah, because automatically I'm like, this is that BDSM shit.
The cat. Yeah. Hey.
Get them all lined up.
Oh yeah. So it was a multi-tailed whip. And the thing is, I knew that part, but I wanted to get down to the details of it, why it was called it the cat of nine tails, because it was shortened kind of to like the way that a cat's tail is. And it had multiple tailed whip, and it was severe. Yeah. And it was basically was known to be a big thing for the Royal Navy and the British Army as judicial punishment. And that's it. So, you know, and the thing is, as they got more advanced with that and so forth, they'd end up putting barbed things on top
of the end of the whips.
In order to make it more severe and so forth like that. Now, and here's the deal. Even when we talk about, even with the using the birches and stuff like that, you could be really severe with that, because when it comes to wood, you know, you put it in water. And there you go. That thing is a whole different ball game at that particular point.
Right. Yeah.
That's
a real good switch.
Yeah, and oh, some would even call that, you know, that would be the birch, right?
Yeah.
And then I don't know about sorry, because I know we're jumping all over the place when it comes to that, because there was many methods that were used when it comes to spanking and discipline, right? And like we're talking about, besides for your traditional belt. So they use like the cat of nine tails. They would use the paddle, which we also know came down as well, to the point where even fraternities were using it and they had to ban it.
Right.
Because they were going overboard with it. But it's crazy that even though they could stop the hazing, they still give paddles whenever, you know, you get ready to go. just as tradition.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, and last but not least, let's not forget about caning, where you can get disciplined with the cane.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, you know, your basic cane, your basic, you know, piece of wood shaped over like a cane could be used as form of punishment as well. It was known to be, you know, you get on your knuckles, so forth, your hands, stuff like that, more so than the butt because it's a thinner piece of wood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it get the message across as well.
Right.
But so here we go. So as it went on, the Europeans ended up taking it. They ended up discovering that if you whip the slave, right, you wouldn't damage your property in a sense.
Yeah.
Therefore, you wouldn't rip his flesh or nothing else like that. And you could also beat them to an inch of their life. And, you know, still they'd be valuable. You could still trade them and so forth. And you could set an example from somebody doing that as well. Mm-hmm. That I could beat you to an inch of your life, but not kill you. And then, you know, we end up taking that method as well. And you, the crazy thing is, you know, when they start to backdate it, because in the research on it, you know, and they say that, you know, as we end up taking it, to discipline our children is also a form of warning them and also making them, what's the word I want to use, stronger in a sense, to what else could happen to them out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. I just got so much information just rolling in my head. You know, when we get to talking, it can get, you know, we'll go everywhere with it. But yeah, you know, I'll let you jump in on, you know, your thoughts on all those different methods and what other research you made end up picking up on when it came to that as well.
Yeah. I mean, for me, where I stay, you know, stuck at is, you know, whether or not it's a good thing. And I mean, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I think that it's a good thing up until a point. And I think that the way that it was done to us is a surefire understanding and deepens the understanding of, you know, we as a people being traumatized, you know, even outside of, again, like all the other things that, you know, have been done to us institutionally, right? Because it sounds like even with it coming out from Egypt, which Egypt is within the continent of Africa, it mm-hmm. still is, you know, a northeastern placement. So it's like, from my understanding, like more of an Arab kind of placement within, you know, the geography of things. And, you know, absolutely. What has come to me is that from the, you know, slaves weren't necessarily coming from Egypt. Slaves were coming from the more western part of the coast, central areas. And what I was picking up on in that sense was that, especially concerning the kids, and even when you start taking a look at wars that went on, right? We weren't a violent people. You know what I mean? We were a lot like the Indians in that fact. And what I mean, the Indians, I'm talking about the Native American Indian, mm-hmm. right? Whereas, you know, tribes might go to war, right? But there, anyone who was a prisoner of war, they weren't abused. Matter of fact, at a certain point, they were actually brought into the tribe as one of the tribe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it was very similar to that in these particular countries within Africa of people who look more like us, right?
Absolutely.
Where, you know, even with the children, there wasn't a physical discipline that was really coming down on the children because the ideology and the philosophy and the understanding was that children were spiritual beings. even close to gods, right? And they were sent here and brought to us in order to teach us, specifically through dance and music, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, that's something that we can still see that is something very prevalent, you know, even through social media. There were, you know, for a couple of weeks, there was this video of these kids, you know, in Africa just gigging, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you know, I can see why people are, I'll even speak about myself, right? Like, cause I will gig my ass off. I don't care how many people are joining in. If I'm the only person, I will go. I will go.
And I don't care.
And so it's, you know, we can go through, I can go through whatever it is that I'm going through in my life that's deemed to be, you know, unpleasant and not good and whatnot. It's similarly to these children, you know, that we see, and they don't have houses like we've got, you know, here in America. They don't have apartment complexes. Like, these kids got like grass roofed huts made out of mud. You know what I'm saying? They don't have the newest gear. They don't even have shoes in their feet. Right. But they out there gigging, big, huge smiles on their faces, just having a great time. Right. And that is the essence of who we are as human beings and what this life, I believe, really is that to be appreciative and grateful for everything that we do have. Which, namely, in my opinion, are all of the relationships. So, you know, that was the mindset of who we were in that geographical part of the continent, and being pulled from that space, then having this idea and way of being, you know, that came from Egypt, that, you know, the Caucasians then adopted, brought it out into, you know, the ships, and then decided that, like, okay, well, we're going to put these people over here on these ships, and then we're going to use this as a way to break them down.
Well, let's be honest, though. So if we're going to talk about Egypt, right, we've also got to talk about colorism. Because facts, even to this point in time, they still have slaves who are the darker people. It was to the point where, I won't drop any names, but I did work for a company several years back that they worked internationally. And they warned me that I could be mistaken as African and accidentally get killed over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, say what? And they're like, yeah, like, we've seen kids, little, you know, chocolate kids like you get chased down in the street and killed. And their parents can't do anything about it.
Mm.
And that's stuff that is still happening, you know, to this day. This is 2022. And things like that are still happening. It's just nothing that it talked about. It's not in the limelight anymore.
Well, and then look at what, you know, just what happened recently within the Ukraine, of like all of people who look like us that are from Africa, right? Like, and countries in Africa where our skin tone is dominant in those spaces. And that's why I'm making the distinction too, of like, while Egypt lies in Africa, it's not necessarily like our people. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, our people are coming from like the southernmost tip of the continent, you know, on the way up. Once you get over to that eastern kind of part, like outside of Ethiopia and on up, like it's like all of that whole situation shifts, right? And
absolutely.
So, and that was the point in me, you know, making like that. I don't think that, based off of what I've read and what I experience, that would be a thing, because let me be more specific in that spanking in and of itself, or any kind of corporal punishment that wasn't severe, it definitely would not have an effect on us the way that we are experiencing it today.
Not at all.
What's today? March 18th, 2022.
Dude, we were talking about this just the other day, right? And you know, when I was in middle school, I went to middle school where we wore dress code, right?
Mm-hmm.
But our principal could also give us SWATs, and he had a powers. Mm. He had two. One called Thunder and one called Lightning. One that was solid and one that had holes. Ask your boy how he knows. Okay? I'll put the pieces together. And it was crazy because, one, parents signed off on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But two, every day over the PA, he would go in on somebody.
Oh,
and you
man.
Could hear somebody. And you're just.
That's your crazy.
Butt. And you're like, ooh, okay.
Wait, so you're telling me right now that, and see, and that shit is so crazy. Again, like the trauma's real, dude. Because like, who is signing off on allowing their kids to get their asses whooped in school unless that is something that has been drilled into you as being okay? Specifically, because like, again, I'll go back to these kids. They were kids who were being revered as like spiritually and deities. And mm-hmm. It was mostly them being brought over on slave ships. Right. So like they're not having any idea of what it is to like be an adult, be a parent, anything like that. So any kind of parenting is then being put over from the slave master. Right. That's cool. Where they're learning things. So, you know, then we get to where you're talking about of signing off on some shit like that happening and then to be able to do it over the PA. So everybody Absolutely. In the school can fucking hear that shit. And oh, God, that shit, that's crazy,
you know,
bro.
It's twofold, right? Because the thing is.
So really quick, was your school mostly white or
no,
mostly black?
My school was smack dab, good old for those from the co. You know, we were good old right smack in the east side, in the middle of it. So no, we were probably about 60% African American. And 30% Hispanic. No, probably. Dang, we probably had like 5 white kids. So the rest were Hispanic.
Wow. That says a lot because that would have been my school was 98% white. Like all the schools that I went to, that would have never happened in a white school.
Bro. Well, but that's crazy though, because you got to remember the Catholic school did it forever. Mm. It was huge in the Catholic school. Mm. And the reason for this is because, like you were saying, when it comes to that the biblical mind
right.
you have, right?
Spare
and
the rod, spoil the
we'll
child.
We'll go straight into it. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have taken that piece of the scripture, and there's like 2 others that we've taken, and we've ran off with it. Mm-hmm. So now, if you don't discipline your child, you know, in that physical aspect, then you're doing ill by them, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think us, especially us as African American, we got pumped a lot into religion, right?
Yeah.
And that was one of the huge things that I think we took away from it. One, we were physically abused, so psychologically, we continued that on, which they've even got studies that parents, you know, now these days, who spank, especially our generation, mm-hmm. when they spanked us, we carried that exact same habit on, right?
Right.
And it just continues to carry on as a form of discipline, even if we see it doesn't work for us.
Mm-hmm. Because that's all we know. No, dude, that was a thing for me with Akira. Like,
yeah.
She jumped bad with me, and my first instinct was to fucking snatch her ass up. Dude, I had to take a deep breath. Yeah. And identify the emotions that I was feeling and recalibrate myself around exactly what I wanted to have as the best outcome for the both of us, but mostly her, because I'm like, dude, if I would have got out of the car right then and there, that like is a whole traumatic experience to fucking, you know, get down on her ass in front of her whole community. Right. But then to then, you know, push that further and like put my hands on her. It's like, dude, then, you know, I'm a man and I'm a black man. You know what I'm saying? Exerting, you know, power over, you know, a young woman, you know what I'm saying? And like, so then what happens in that space? Right. And,
absolutely.
And I go into that space of like, then after taking those deep breaths and figuring out like what it is that I'm feeling, it's then asking myself, okay, who do you want to be?
Well, and so let me ask you this. I got to put a little sauce on that there. What if it had been a son instead of your daughter who had bucked up at you like that? How would the outcome have turned out?
Same.
Okay. And that's important because, you know, a lot of people out there who are listening about, they're probably, you know, thinking the same boat. You know, daughters and sons are different in the way that we respond to them, especially as males. Is completely, for the most part, different. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't always mean that it is. And in your circumstance, you were wise enough to take that mental pause, refresh yourself, and then step back into character, right?
Right.
But I don't think a lot of people, you know, are at that point, that state of maturity.
Well, I think that it's important to address real quick, you know, the reason why it would be the same for me with my son, Jordan. Right. And the reason why it would be the same is because it's the same. Both of their moms are white. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And a large part of their community is white. So the messages that they're getting is that I'm a big black, bad black man. And I get to show them that, like, yeah, I'm a big ass bad black man. At the same time, I'm also wise, compassionate, caring and understanding. And it's very important, you know, for my son to have a healthy relationship with his father and other men specifically who look like me, but men in general, because we are in a space, and this is a whole other, you know, subject maybe that we can talk later on down the line. But, you know, we as dudes, we get to stick together, man, and we get to trust each other. You know what I mean? We get to be vulnerable with each other and we get to build with each other and we get to trust each other. My kids get to trust that I'm not going to fucking lose my goddamn mind because my ego is touched. You know what I mean? Absolutely. I want to be able to give them the lesson in that, like, I'm bigger than my ego. My higher self is bigger than my ego. The God, the Christ in me is so much bigger than my ego. And then when I'm operating from that space of being, like, so many great things can happen. And in that, it's like, I'm getting to go through the journey. I'm getting to go through the process of, you know, what my daughter Akira, especially in this moment, is how she's going to develop, right? Because, you know, she mad at your boy. She's been mad for weeks. You know, I got to go to the point where, you know, I broke up with my daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
we were talking about that.
Yeah, because that's the other side of things. It's like, if I'm not gonna whoop your ass, like, you get to know that there's some sort of repercussion for the actions that you choose. And when I look at everything, I'm like, I understand that I'm a great man. Right. And in that, you just don't get to treat me any old kind of way. Now, I love you because you're my daughter. You know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, no, we're not going to behave in this manner. And you don't get to have complete and full access to me when that's you're choosing to behave in this particular manner. Mind you, that doesn't mean that I'm cutting myself off from her and making sure that she's taken care of, that, you know, that and that that's mentally and emotionally and physically, right? She still gets picked up from me from school. I ask her how her day is going, you know, how her morning's going, if she slept well, you know, all those types of things. I check in with her, you know, via text just to see how she's doing, you know, what's going on and all that. And she knows specifically, regularly, you know, you can hit me up for anything you need, right?
Well, so let's talk about something real quick, because both of us have had this experience and we've, you know, something that you made key is you communicated with her, right? You're able to hit her where it hurts verbally at this point in time without having to do anything physical to her, right? But what I will say too is me seeing, like, I even got, you know, Caucasian siblings, right? I've got four siblings that are all Caucasian, as well as other family members and friends. And the thing is, they may not discipline physically, but they discipline verbally. And I don't know for you, if you got to see a lot of that as well. A lot of, you know, they can go a little wire. Little Timmy can go off on mom, and mama and dad will go right back at them. They will sit there and cuss each other out.
Right.
Like two dogs in the street. And then they'll be able to make back up, say, I love you, and it's all kumbaya or whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? Where we won't do all that. Right. Let our child cuss us out. I wish you would. I'm going to light your world up.
Right.
So, you know, it's crazy on the type of way the discipline is. Which one is really better? Which one is, you know, which one is more positive?
Well, and mind you, right? I think that what you just explained in my world is very unhealthy, right? You know, for on a verbal blows are just as potent, if not more, as physical blows. Right? Because then I'm going after your spirit and I'm going after your heart, right? You kill a body can heal, right? And there's certain, you know, traumas that like come from that, but so much so, like, depending on who you are, right? If I'm your parent and I'm saying something like super crazy, like, I don't believe in you and I think that you're a loser.
Yeah.
Man, like that hits so much more. And so like that is in that way, similar to the, like the whole popping thing, right? I'm very methodical about what I'm doing. Cause like, even with Akira, like, I didn't do that for very long. It was like a couple years and it would only be, there would be a discussion around that being a consequence before it happened. And once she, and that was only between the ages of like 2 and 4, you know, once she got around like 4.5, 5, it really wasn't a thing that necessarily happened. Right. And so, you know, now that she's 13, about to go on to 14, you know, it's one of those things. The difference is that I'm not calling out her out of her name or, you know, anything like that. But what I am is I'm dropping these truth bombs, right?
Yeah.
Because what I understand in her world, and I think a lot of these kids' worlds now, and it's probably mostly around, you know, the white kids, even though I see things like bleeding together, no matter the age range, is that there's this idea of an alpha or a high quality person, like high quality male or female, right? And so she loves to talk about how she's an alpha. And so then that's where I hit her. I'm like, okay, so you think that, you know, losing control of your emotions is alpha? Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not. Right. And I'm being that example because I'm not losing my emotional integrity. Right.
And that's key.
Right. And that's where I'm hitting her, where it's just like, oh, yeah. So you think that you something that you really aren't. And here is your example. Like, you know, you think that it's OK to like talk to your mom any sort of way. Like, yeah, you know, you just lost control. You just lost. You're being beta as fuck.
And can, ooh, I don't know if we're crossing lines if we say this or not, because for those who don't know as well, I've got an older daughter as well with the Caucasian woman. And have you ever heard, or your daughter ever told you of her mom ever calling her out her name or anything else like that?
Yeah.
If that's, if we can go there.
Yeah, we can go there.
Okay. And the reason why I say that is because I think that's part of the reason why she acts, she will respond to you differently than she does to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because her mom come at her verbally like that. So therefore, right, she'll respond to her like that. Where she knows, my daddy's never talked to me crazy like that.
Right.
He's never disrespected me. He's never called me anything else but a princess or a queen. Even on my worst days, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Never called me out of my character. Now, he's got on to me verbally, but he's never did that. So therefore, I know I can never disrespect someone that, in those grounds, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and well, and you're hitting the nail on the head, right? Because there, that was the difference between, because I was thankfully I was able to be privy to the full on conversation where, you know, mom was being told to shut the fuck up. Mom was told, was being told that she was a liar. And I don't think I heard bitch come out of her mouth. But even those two things, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's serious. Where, you know, me, it was just like, it was, I was just given a set of instructions, you know, don't call me, don't text me, you know, don't come pick me up, and then slam my door. Right. There was a huge difference in the way. And I thank you for that, because I didn't look at that until you just said something right now. And, yeah, that actually makes me feel good.
Hey, that's, you know, we're always there for each other, bro. So, hey, anything. But, you know, I mean, real talk, for those who don't know, he really is a stand-up character, and I really can't speak more highly about the way, especially as his daughter's going into her teenage years, that he's able to respond and react when it comes to that. I'm gonna do this as well, because you know about men and women, and we're going along with that. And I wanted to talk about a study that I had found and I had read where they had interviewed. If this will pull up for me real quick, it says I'm too pretty, so I want to do this.
so pretty.
So I'm gonna hit a couple of different topics. One, it says African Americans are more likely to. This is by the way, CNN. Article that I had read. African Americans are more likely to spank their children, right, than any other racial or ethnic group.
Right. I got that statistic as well. And it wasn't CNN. It was actually it was data that was derived from a study from an higher institutional
level. And that's what they did. They took the study and they put it in their name on it. That's how they always do. They grab a Harvard study or something else.
Right.
And put it
yeah.
in, and it's not. Then, you know, low income, which that's something else that low mm-hmm. income educated parents are more likely to spank.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying, of course, spankings can lead to negative consequences in children.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to talk about the thing about women and men, right? Because the survey that I read, basically it was 111 women that they surveyed. And 40 of the women said when they were spanking, there's a possibility that they could lose control.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. You know, because men got this bad rep as being, you know, super physical with their children, overly aggressive in a way.
Right.
And having to assert their dominance. Where I feel, especially now as we've evolved as more of a modern man and more men are working at home, that's not something that we're more prone to anymore. I mean,
I can say that in my experience, you know, even having the quintessential, like, standoff with dad, my dad never lost control. My mom, on the other hand, ninja.
My point exactly. And that's why I wanted to go into that, because we're talking about how you responded and, you know, versus how even our baby mothers have handled situations, you know what I'm saying? And other women that I know how they've handled the situations when it came to their daughters and their sons as well, but more in particular when it came to their daughters, where, you know, things can really get out of control really quick.
Yeah.
But it's not a topic that's really ever addressed. Where I feel like, you know, even especially in the African American community, the women are generally more of the disciplinary.
Hmm.
And then the men, especially Black men, we get this bad rap as being women abusers and physically aggressors and everything else like that. And so I really found
that's
that.
That's a whole other podcast as well.
Well, that goes into the spanking aspect of it, though.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who are laying down the spankings, right? And then we pass these on to our children as men, the men who get to be in our lives. This is what we do, where it wasn't Pop who spanked us. It was Mom who spanked us.
Mm.
And what ended up happening is they say it's because the male wasn't in the life. And that's the reason why he is the way he is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just in that whole atmosphere right there of, you know, the spanking and the verbal versus the physical aspects of it, just dealing with that. I just really thought that was something that was, you know, really. And like I said, my mom was a disciplinary in our house.
Yeah.
And she went overboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am the same boat as you. I at this particular, yeah, like I said, I did spank my kids when they were smaller. But now that, you know, even my son being 10, he probably hasn't got a spanking in probably, you know, a good couple of years. Because there's no need to. I can communicate.
Yeah, we can have whole ass conversations.
Yeah, look, don't make dad throw down the hammer.
Right.
Okay. I give him that stank eye.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, dad's not.
You know what it is. Yeah, Akira got that look too, like when she started yelling at me and I was like, I put my finger up and I was like, don't you raise your voice at me. And she had that look in her face real quick, like, dad is going to whoop my ass. And then she took a deep breath and got more brave. Don't call me. Don't text me. Bro. Don't come pick me up. I swear to God, you know, but it's like, that's the other realization that I'm having as well now is that, you know, our boys are going to be us. And our daughters are going to be their moms.
Yeah.
And if there isn't anything that I've taken away from this, at this point in time, I know that there's definitely going to be more that I'm going to take from, you know, this whole situation and, you know, digging into all of this stuff. But choose wisely, man. Choose wisely who you are going to have as the mother of your children and who you are going to have as the father of your children, because it matters. It matters. It matters so much. I know that there is the opportunity for all of us to make our own decisions and who we are going to be as individuals, but like the influence is so huge. You know, and especially when you start looking at separate households and, you know, who the kids are spending most of their time with, bro, like gotta choose wisely. And, you know, to kind of bring this to a close, I think, you know, where I'm setting at this whole thing is my majority philosophy in life is like, everything in moderation, man. Everything in moderation and take deep breaths and like use fucking common sense, which I know isn't so common, but like for real, man, you know, because from, you know, from what they're dubbing as corporal punishment to, you know, talking shit to your kid, like it all has an effect. If I go too far, if I allow my emotions to get the better of me, and that not part. Have the big picture of mind of who I want to be and the type of life that I want my kids to lead and the type of individuals that I would like to see them be. They're always going to make their own choices, right? But I definitely have an influence in setting a foundation and a springboard for them. And trauma is real. And it's on both sides, not just for African Americans, but for white people too. The more that I'm delving into all this shit, it's like y'all motherfuckers, these motherfuckers are traumatized too, right? To walk around and think that like that you're better than what you really are because of the color of your skin. Woo, bro.
Man, what was I gonna say? So, you know, that goes into, because I was going to hit that note where you're talking about, you know, picking your right spouse, right?
Mm.
And making sure that y'all on the same note. First and foremost, something that I've discovered is you want to have a conversation with them on how they were disciplined and how that has impacted them. Because you don't know, even unsubconsciously, the trauma that they're holding back there due to the way that they were raised and the things that they went through.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's what they're going to regurgitate and put upon your child.
Right. Facts. And big facts.
Depending on how you were raised and your morals, your principles, and the way that you discipline, it could cause a divide or rift, either early on in your relationship, or some people, you know, when the kid gets teenage age and they start bucking up, that's when the parents separate, because now they're having, you know, on top of what they already got, they've got a disagreement on how to parent and manage the child.
Yeah.
One parent wants to spank, and the other parent's like, no, I want to put them in timeout. Or, like you said, this day and age, you can take away their electronics, right? Which goes different to what we do. We got spanked. We didn't have all those electronics. We had one TV and a stick.
Right.
I'm in a G.I. Joe figure.
But and, yeah. outside.
And outside. So. Look, we could talk about that's a topic for another day. But, yeah, I mean, just to wrap into what you were saying, though, it was like, really, for longevity's sake, for a lot of people out there, just really be self-conscious of the trauma that you're carrying. And especially those in our community. Go and seek help. I'm going to say that. Go and talk to somebody. It's okay to go and talk to somebody.
Yeah, it really is.
So.
It really is. At least somebody that you know that you can trust, you know, has some game about them. At most, it's great to see a lot of these affordable platforms that are opening up where people can have discussions about what's going on with themselves in their lives and, you know, start to gain tools in order to be able to heal and function at a high level within our lives. It's
a necessity.
Yeah, it will. It will do so much for you. So with that said, I think that we're able to end on a really good note here. Bro. And I'm honored to have you on here. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule with your kids, your wife, your schoolwork, and the church to jump on here with me, man.
Hey, look here. And I forgot, because they're going to kill me if they even listen. I'm also the... All right.
Don't do that.
Outreach executive director for Bridge the Gap in McKinney, Texas, y'all, which is a fantastic nonprofit. So I will get, the dudes will jump on me for not putting that out there.
Yeah.
I love them. And yeah.
What are your handles? Do you have a URL, a website that people can go to?
Oh yeah, definitely. You can always come and check me out. It's roddyp.ypp. I'm going to get that fixed because it's got my first when I was Roddy P before I became reformed to YPP. and then, of course, my name, I'm Roderick Perrier. So you can go and check me out there on any of my social media. That's going to be my name. And then for the nonprofit, y'all, that's Bridge the Gap. And that's Bridge with two I's. Go and check them out. They're an awesome nonprofit that's going out there and they're trying to make an impact in this community, y'all. Which is really huge. So, yeah. And once and foremost, you know, before I get off, I want to give you a huge shout, my man. Because this guy right here is on the go, nonstop. If he's not in the gym or doing something with his daughter, he's on his entrepreneur-ish. So I am super proud to call this dude, you know, not just a friend, but a brother.
Appreciate that, man.
I tip my hat to you, sir. That's a Texas thing for y'all who don't know.
Yeah, back at you, baby. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Thanks again. And all of y'all, y'all know how to tune in up in this piece, man. Thatangryblackman.com, yes. On the website. You know what I'm saying? I do. I definitely do have something worked out for the TikTok. So, I mean, to all the mobsters out there, thank you for holding tight on the TikTok action. You know what I'm saying? I'm on Twitter. Not a whole lot, but, you know, the official TABM, you know what I mean? Hit me up. And over at IG, That Angry Black Man, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We going to have some lives in the whole nine coming back through again. You already know what it is. Every Friday or whenever the hell I feel like dropping this shit. Yeah. Is when it's going down, man. Y'all be easy. Much love. Peace.